And hello, everyone. Welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz. Adam and I have been here since midnight, and we're not leaving until it's done, folks.
We can't...
We've locked ourselves in.
Can't be recording episodes during the plowing match.
People yelling outside.
They're stamping their feet on the walls.
But,
it's crazy.
It's all going to be fine.
Oh, it's an O-Week activity. Still?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. O-Week.
Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen, and you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today, we are going to continue with our round robin of council interviews with the people running for city council this year. And some of the folks we are interviewing this week include... Well, they are. We got five. It's not like there's a big... We only have an hour's show is what I'm getting at.
The famous five. The now famous five.
Leave it in. Kathy Downer and Alex Green, who are both running in Ward 5. And then after the break, we will have Steve Petrick, Eli Ritter, and Anoush Khurana. Petrick is running in Ward 3. Riddler's running in Ward 4. And Karana's running in Ward 6. So we're going to start off with our Ward 5 candidates. So I recorded... an interview with Kathy Downer last weekend. Scotty recorded an interview with Alex Green also last weekend. You want to add any to the...
Not really.
Not really. It will speak for itself.
It's 4-1 on the A unit versus B unit. But I'm catching up.
Catching up. All right. Let's start off by hearing from Ward 5. So, Kathy Downer, you are by no means a rookie on city council.
Been a long time.
Yeah. So, you know, you came back after a break this term, and what made you want to decide to do another 4 years?
You're right. So I started in 1994 and then didn't run again in 2006 and then came back this last term. And part of it was, for me, running again is, you know, I think it's now sort of in my bones and part really much a part of who I am, the public service and doing the council work. And the most enjoyable part I do is the constituency work that I do with in the ward with neighborhood groups and community partners and even like at the university, like with the Central Student Association too. It's not just neighborhoods. And I really enjoy that work. I also enjoy problem solving in collaboration with others. So for me, like I'm a mediator, so that comes second nature. And there's a number of big projects too that I'd like to see through, like the library, the new main library, and the Claremont B. Plan. So I'd like to continue to offer that sort of reasoned and balanced voice I think that I have at the Horseshoe.
I think one of the things, if people look at the whole ballot throughout the city, there's a particular interest in, a particular difference in your ward in that it is the two incumbents and one challenger on the ballot. So is it that Ward 5 is, like, perfectly happy with the representation it's had the last 4 years? Or is the ward is your ward perfectly apathetic that, you know, things seem to be going fine, so...
I like to thank the former.
Obviously.
I like to think that that we've been doing a very good job, that nobody is feeling the need to change us necessarily, except a third person running. like I said, I have worked very closely with a lot of groups in the city. I consult regularly. I reach out to consult with people. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of it that way. Ward 5 is, there's a lot of activists living in Ward 5, a lot of neighborhood groups. So I like to think that we've done a good job, and we've, stayed connected and communicated as well. Like, we have a newsletter that goes, that, you know, we send out. We do town halls twice a year. And, you know, last year, the big homecoming one. And so we address the issues, I think, that are front porch issues for people, as well as long-term vision planning.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to another candidate about this, about sort of the two worlds of campaigning, that you have that door-knocking experience, talking to people face-to-face, and the work you've done, you know, with community groups and neighborhood groups and things like that. And there's also the online spheres, the Twitter and Facebook and all that. And you've managed to surf both of those fairly well. But this is a new world. I mean, to go back to when you first started on a council, the only way to get out the word out was the door knocking.
Yeah.
So can you talk a bit about the difference campaigning then as opposed to now, or now as opposed to then?
So back then in 94, like, I went, you know, I started very early and went door to door, like, everywhere, and did a couple of literature drops, and had a, you know, yeah, it was a bigger sort of on the ground production. And as they've evolved, it's changed, right? Mm. It's so now you have a database of people who support you, and that you carry over, that you send out, you know, e-blasts to, you know, not too often. And
no.
and then you have Twitter accounts, right? And I don't make up a new Twitter account. I keep my same ones and my same Facebook pages. So and so that's very different in communicating with people. I still think the door-to-door is fairly effective, and I think signs, I think, unfortunately, for municipal politics, I think name recognition is still pretty important, because as much as you and I love local politics, a lot of people are not paying attention and don't even know. Like, for even the 8 years I was off council, a lot of people thought that I was still on council, and when I started going door to door again in 2014, they thought I'd never left. So,
you're back again.
So, I still think it's important to get out there door to door. And as far as the online stuff, I think I've tried to use my online presence as an opportunity to inform, to engage in an informative way rather than in a controversial way,
right.
To provide factual information or rationale, and not be afraid to offer my reasoned approach to whatever decision they're challenging.
Right, because this is a weird intersection for you as a professional mediator, in that this is a sphere where you feel probably, in your professional instincts, feel naturally inclined to be a mediating force, but at the same time, this presence, this atmosphere, sort of shirks mediation and forces everybody to find a corner.
Yes, and that I think one of the things that's come with So as a mediator, it's at the same time as somebody who's generally that way, I have to step out of that comfort zone and provide reasons for why I make my positions, right? Because I'm not a mediator in the council.
Mm-hmm.
I do that sometimes there, but yeah. I do have my own perspective. But you're right, online is fairly polarizing, I think. I find that on a lot of sites. And if you're not on one end or the other, like, for me, I find that as somebody who's a free thinker, I don't like to be in either line. I like to do my own homework. I think it's a little more difficult to be in that, I don't want to call it a centrist place, but it's more of a spot that, you know, I'm not going to toe any particular line here.
A nonpartisan place.
So I make my own decisions, and nobody's going to, you know, I get feedback from my constituents, but nobody, or, you know, I'm not going to follow anybody, like any certain group, or you start forming any certain group. So it kind of means I don't belong anywhere, but it can be lonely sometime. But I think that's important, and I try to maintain that on my social media presence as well, mm-hmm. and be just as respectful to both polarizing fractions.
Mm-hmm. To revisit the idea of you have three candidates running in your ward, has that been perhaps an invitation to you to be a bit more bolder in some of your campaign initiatives, that you don't have to, you know, try and find the mushy middle with there not being, you know, five or six or eight people trying to run for your seat, that maybe this is an opportunity for you to stake out some new ground? I don't know.
You know, it hasn't. I'm campaigning just as I always have. I don't know if I'm bolder. I think I'm a little. I think in my answers and to the political answers, I was a lot more wordier than I think I would be, because for me, your questions, they were good, and I didn't want to give short three sentence pat answers, which is a risk because people, you know, may not read them. But I did. I felt I did have maybe the luxury of giving some explaining a little bit more, like the background and more fulsome answers to those. Now, whether people will read them because of that or not, I don't know. But I do feel there's a certain luxury for me to, you know, maybe they're not bold, but like, you know, stake out maybe unique claims. Like my claim around part of my platform is community livability and community engagement and how we can change that. And things like that.
I'm here with Alex Green, a candidate in Ward 5 in Guelph's municipal election this year. So before we talk about politics, Alex, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Oh, I can. I work as mainly a application developer. I also work for a small financial services firm. I live in Ward 5 with my partner Anne, her son Simon, and our cat Cookie. So
wonderful. So you're a returning candidate, having run in 2014, and it was a much more crowded race. So this time you're the only challenger to the current incumbents, Leanne Piper and Kathy Downer. Was that part of your motivation to run, the fact that there would have been two acclamations if it wasn't for you being in the race? Or was it something else?
That was definitely part of the reason I'm running. Certainly, if there had been more candidates, I may have looked at it and said, you know, the field's crowded, maybe I don't run for this time, maybe I go do something else, maybe I run for school board. But acclamations, I think, are just, they're just wrong. Nobody out there is doing a good enough job at anything in politics that they should just be able to say, all right, I'm in forever, because no one's going to challenge me. So there's that, and, you know, I had the signs left over from last time, too, so I might as well make some use of them. And but honestly, I don't believe that the leadership in Ward 5 or the city in general has been doing that good a job. And I can't let it go unchallenged. I could not sit back and say, you guys are doing such a great job that you get in, no questions asked. They're not. Nobody is. I don't know if I'm necessarily the best candidate for this position, but I'm willing to bet that I'm better than at least one of them. So I couldn't just say, you know, Leanne and Kathy are doing a fantastic job, they deserve to stay on forever, because they're not.
Right, and Ward 5 is an interesting riding. It's a kind of mixed with the university and old new residential and lots of retail, including Snow Road Mall. And with that, I guess, comes a range of issues. What do you think is the issue of prime importance specific to Ward 5?
I've been focusing my attention on two areas. First area is the dreadful state of the roads. It might be like this throughout the entire city, but I know that particularly in Ward 5, particularly Gordon Street, parts of Edinburgh, parts of the smaller residential streets are in absolutely atrocious states of repair and have been for almost a decade now. And I look at them and I say, if the city can't do the simple things like ensuring that the sidewalks are level and the roads are paved and smooth, you got to look at the city and think, well, what else are they doing wrong that's not so evident, that's not so visible to the average person? And then you look deeper and you see things like we've got affordable housing issues in Ward 5. We have so many students that it sort of skews things. in our ward, because not only do we have everybody who wants to just live in a relatively inexpensive place, we have all the students, and it's not the same students. We get new students every year, so there is always demand for affordable housing, and the city hasn't done a particularly good job of encouraging developers to build it. I think they just put out their new plan, which is they want 30% going forward. They want 30% affordable housing, but the way they've set it up is just, it doesn't make any sense to me. So they have 25% out of that 30 is going to be for sale houses, for people to buy inexpensive homes. But that's not really, you know, I don't know how you make it so that those houses actually go to people who need affordable housing and not just to some out-of-town speculator who buys it and then rents it.
Well, and that's what sounds like is going on with that new Janefield development, which was approved this past week. And, of course, the headline of the trip was a bit sort of overblown. It was like, someone is going to die. Do you see any serious issues, maybe specifically with those condos in particular, other than them being affordable? Or is it just one of those things where it's like the neighborhood isn't happy that it's going in? Or is it is sort of a symptomatic of a bigger picture in terms of the condo growth in town?
I think that particular development is perhaps slightly too large for the area, is the thing. The problem being that we're running out of places where you can actually put a development that large. We need more housing, we need more affordable housing, but sticking it all in one spot creates... We have parking problems, we have traffic problems, and sticking it all in one spot is going to just exacerbate those problems. While, you know, it might help the affordable housing issue, it just creates more, it creates other issues. So I'd like to see things be, you know, smaller developments that are more spread out, rather than, you know, just huge monolithic developments in one spot. Because I think that'll allow us to grow the city in a consistent, stable, slow way, rather than just in fits and starts.
Something else you were talking quite a bit about on Twitter recently was the uptick in crime in Guelph, and that's, in your view, I think one of the reasons that you'd said that new leadership is required at City Hall. What would your approach be in terms of tackling crime in the Royal City?
Well, first of all, I would have seen it coming. I don't know anybody who didn't realize that there was a meth problem downtown. I don't know anyone who didn't realize that after the meth problem, we were going to get an opioid problem. And the fact that the city was not taking a proactive approach to this, it kind of boggles the mind. That being said, we're now in this situation. We need to find a way out of it, because you want to be able to leave your bike downtown, you want to be able to leave your car downtown and make sure it's in the state it was when you left it, when you get back. So I don't think anyone believes that arresting our way out of this is the solution. And hiring more police officers is probably not going to fix the problem. I would like to see an expansion. We're not funding it, I think, directly. It's four separate organizations. Sorry, the Downtown Guelph Business Association, the county, the Guelph Police, and the CHC.
Center for Addictions.
They're funding the Downtown Guelph Welcoming Streets Initiative, which is, instead of calling the cops, you call a support worker. So if somebody's on the street doing something a bit funny, or if somebody's lying in your vestibule when you get there in the morning, you call this person, and they direct whoever it is towards a more friendly solution than, say, locking people up. I think we need to expand services for addiction. I think we need to expand services for the homeless, for people who just need food support, for people who need affordable housing, for people who need subsidized housing. A lot of that's done through the county, and I don't know if they understand the situation in Guelph as well as they should. So I think funding things that we can directly is probably the best way to go. And if I'm elected, I want to do a short sort of consultation process with various people who know more about this than I do. I'm a layman when it comes to this sort of thing. I don't know everything. I would like to know what the people who are working with this on the street think the solution is, and then we need to decide what we want to do moving forward. I think more support services is probably the best way to go.
So what would you say are the main reasons that a Ward 5 voter should choose you as one of their picks on October 22nd, beyond kind of everything you said?
Well, I'd say that regardless of how much you might like someone, regardless of how nice they might be, if your city councilors aren't doing a good job, then they need to be replaced. And it's nothing personal against anyone, but from time to time, even if you think they're doing a good job, sometimes it's time for new ideas. And if we keep electing the same people over and over and over again, we will get the same ideas, we will get the same issues, we need new perspectives. At the very least, getting someone in there with fresh ideas, someone without baggage attached to them, someone who hasn't been on council for 12 or 20 years or something like that, somebody who can walk in with a fresh face and not be hamstrung by old conflicts around the horseshoe, things like that. And, you know, I'd say I'm probably a fairly reasonably good person at getting along with people. I know there have been some fairly serious conflicts within the council, and a lot of that bad blood is going to linger if we just keep putting the same people in there over and over again. And we need to have progress in this city. I know people are concerned that things move too quickly, but there are things in this city that do not move at all. And if we keep putting the same people in council over and over again, we will remain in the situation we've had for the past 20 years where it takes us forever to build a library, forever to build a recreation center, but we get a brand new parking garage right next to City Hall. And regardless of whether that's coincidence or not, the optics are terrible and they should have been aware of that. So I'd like to be on council because I think we just need new leadership.
Great. So if people want to find out more about your campaign or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can visit my website, www.alexgreen.ca. They can email me at alex@alexgreen.ca. Tweet me at @VoteAlexGreen. Or, you know, if you see me on the street walking by, I'm a personable guy. I'm a nice guy to talk to. So just walk up, say hello, and we'll talk about the issues.
Okay, so to recap, that was Kathy Downer, and then Scotty talked to Alex Green. And they are running in Ward 5, so we have 2/3 of Ward 5 done.
Collect all three.
Collect all three. It's kind of sad, actually.
maybe not. Somebody has to do it.
I'm definitely going to feel bad for the person who doesn't win.
And anybody that doesn't come on the show, we can...
Well, I'm just meaning Ward 5, because there's like...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So we're going to take a musical break, and then we are going to play our next three interviews, which are Steve Petrick, who's running in Ward 3, Eli Ritter, who's running in Ward 4, and then we're going to wrap up with Anshu Karama, who's running in Ward 6. You are listening to Open Source as well here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
That was brand new from Bumika, the Toronto Tabla Ensemble. The album's called Bumika. I got that backwards. But that is the newest CD in the station, just released minutes ago, and presented to you. So,
all right.
Tablas, give her.
Okay. And we're going to present some new city council candidate interviews right now. So Steve Petrick, Eli Ridler, and Anshu Khurana. And then we'll wrap things up. So Steve Petrick, you are running again for office. I think most people recognize you as the transit guy. I don't know if that feels like a good descriptor or...
Interesting descriptor.
It's an interesting descriptor. Okay, fair enough. But you know, you're in the midst of helping to launch this initiative, TAG, Transit Action Advisory Group. So why take the extra initiative, shall we say, to try and run for council again?
This time around, I've been really looking at the reality of what's going on in politics lately. Mm-hmm. Politics has really become a bit more troublesome, I guess. a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
I know we're a lot better than that, and I want to build better relationships with everyone and work together with everyone, because there's a lot of people out there that do not believe their voice is being heard. And I believe every voice needs to count in our city, because our community depends on it more. So that's kind of the main reason why I'm running again for the fourth time.
Oh, has it been four times?
This is my fourth time. I first ran in 2019. I was the only teenager.
So you and Eli Ridler should be fast friends. to unpack what you said about the negativity, because I feel like in so much as we want to talk about, you know, reaching out and things, it feels like there's like very much insular groups. And this isn't just about the people themselves making comments online, but it seems like the candidates themselves want to engage, and you kind of understand that too. So when you're talking about trying to engage with people who are maybe leaning more to the side of being trolls and trying for actual engagement, how do we navigate all that?
We've got to find ways to, obviously there's going to be trolls, and there's going to be people that are going to be on the extreme ends of the political spectrum. So we just got to take it all in and try to work towards compromise. We're not going to please everyone. One of the things when watching Designated Survivor once, was they had this is a great thing.
Okay.
On Designated Survivor, they had an issue where they were looking for compromise on moving a statue. And the compromise they came up with did not please either side. But at the end of the day, at least they moved the needle. And, you know, it moved the discussion forward a little bit. You know, we need to at least find compromise and consensus and start working together more than having our own little silos, which seems to be a common theme, not just in Guelph, but across a lot of different municipalities.
Right, but it's hard to break the silos because... I guess this has to do with the theme of politics, too. Everyone's sort of looking at everyone else as, like, a political enemy. And on my way to talk to you today, I was on Twitter or Facebook, and somebody had, like, a little meme with the pictures of the six councillors who voted against Dan Gibson's amendment. And it's very much kind of like enemy of the people stuff, although it doesn't really say enemy of the people. It's kind of implied that these people are not, who may have had legitimate reasons to vote against the measure, are not necessarily of the people or for the people.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is always going to be out there. It's out there today and provincially, federally, and, you know. And we just got to take it, you know, it's part of the discussion, obviously, but it's, you just got to kind of, I don't know, I got to work around that one. I got to think about that one a little more.
Let's talk about something you have given a lot of thought about, which is the transit stuff. Because there's been a lot of transit changes in the last 4 years, you're smirking. That's fine, but it's you've been on the advisory committee, the transit advisory committee. So you sort of have a more inside knowledge of the situation than just, you know, say me as a rider, or just say staff who are, you know, just getting the reports, or council who are getting the reports. Where's the disconnect here? Because we have. We hear things that from transit management that says, yes, we understand your concerns and we know what the problems are. We have the people say, we know what the problems are. We're trying to tell you the problems, but we're not seeing any solutions. What's the missing ingredient here from someone from the inside?
The disconnect seems to be that council doesn't have a vision for transit right now. Mm. Senior staff have a vision for transit. Transit management have a vision for transit, and of course the people have a vision for transit. We're just not all working together. And that's why there's a whole bunch of people from the community starting this TAG group, which is an Action Alliance group for transit, to educate people on the different solutions. For example, why is your bus late? Well, a lot of people make assumptions, but there's a lot of valid reasons, and there's actually valid solutions. So and you have to understand who to advocate to. So a lot of people throw their complaint to transit, but transit's not necessarily the ones that are the one to deal with. The traffic department deals with traffic lights. The planning department deals with roads, etc. So they have a piece of the pie. So we need to be advocating to the right people. I think at the end of the day, we really need a clear plan forward, a clear business plan. The service review is going to be an interesting interesting results, I guess.
Right, because
half of that is about looking for savings, obviously, and the half of it's about fixing things. So the question is the results going to be about saving money, or is it going to be about fixing and putting money into the system? So I'm very curious to wait and see what happens there.
I think the thing with the service review is you hear the present mayor or anyone on the present city council talking about that. It sounds like a magic bullet that we're going to get this report back and it's going to tell us how to work a transit system.
I don't think it's a magic bullet. I think it's a part of the solution, but not the solution.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we need to have a vision for transit. So we need to all come together and determine, do we want a system that is more frequent, or a system that has more coverage routes, and then go from there, find that balance. So that's the first step. And then, you know, we can start discussing new routes and, you know, what the frequency is and fares and all that stuff. But we need a vision for transit first before, you know, we start throwing additional buses on Gordon Street.
Well, in our last couple of minutes, we want to prove to people that you're more than the transit guy. So talk about what else you think is important in this election and what you want to highlight.
I want to highlight that we need more ethical systems at City Hall, more accountability. We need council and staff to be accepting, be more accountable for the shortfalls as much as they are for the wins that we get. So we definitely need to step up that game. There's been a lot of information in the annual report, I noticed, where they're pumping up all the great stuff, but then there's all these negatives or these, you know, shortfalls that are kind of being buried, and I don't like that. You know, we gotta be honest with the public and be upfront, saying, you know, we're working on it, we're looking at it, we're gonna address it, but we need to all work together as a community, because it just feels we're disconnected that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific example?
Not off the top of your head. I would say transit, but I don't want to do that.
We were trying to get you off being the transit guy. Yeah. But I mean, that is a good example. And I think that sort of ties back to the original point. We were talking about, like, the tones and the silos and all that. That people look at a situation at City Hall, like the driveway thing, and think, oh, I hate all these councilors. They aren't listening. And then you have the city saying, actually, things are pretty good. And you have, like, this, the survey that they did last year where they got feedback, and people think, actually, things in Guelph are pretty good. And it's like, what is reality? And that seems like a very Matrix place to leave our interview. But you let us here. But it's it just seems like we are kind of, how do you negotiate all these realities? And I think people understand what you're saying, is that we need to know what the bad things are as much as the good things. But the press tends to go to, or the desire to lead the press to the more good things, and it's a bit harder to get the more rougher things covered.
It is. Without the daily paper anymore, it's definitely been a struggle, I guess, to get both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we need to all to work together as a community, find that compromise, because I feel as though sometimes it's staff doing their own thing, council is doing their own thing, public's doing their own thing, and we're all kind of disconnected. And I want to bring people together at the end of the day. I'm an independent. I'm not associated with any political party. I'm not tied up with any, you know, other councillors or anything like that. I'm just...
You're not in an NDP sleeper cell? No. You want to get that on the record?
No. Not a Liberal, not an NDPer, not a Conservative, not a Green, not a Libertarian, not a Communist.
Should we go down the list?
Hey, we'll go down the
list. So, Eli, you're one of, I think it's safe to say, the youths. You're one of the youngs.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am 21, but I'll be 22 on election day.
Oh, really? So you're 22, or you will be 22 on the 22nd. So it'd be quite the birthday present.
I hope so. That would be great.
So why do you want to be a city councilor? It's usually, I mean, you look at the makeup of city council, not only a lot of young faces there, although, you know, we're a very youthful city. So why did you want to step forward?
Well, I think you answered part of my question already. We're a youthful city. We need democratic representation that includes people from that age group. But really, I want to represent all residents. I started to run, first of all, because I noticed I was having issues with transit. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people start there with the city, or at least some people do. And it grew as I learned more about the different issues, started going to city council meetings, starting to talk to neighbors and friends and family about the issues they're having with the city, and also the good things about the city. So there are things that need to be continued and there are things that need to be fixed. And that's why I decided to run. I really wanted to put residents first. That's my slogan. And I truly believe that and want to live that if I'm elected.
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of well known now for following certain Facebook groups that they seem to be obsessed with, at least in the mayor's race, with Aggie's age. Aggie Milner's is running against Pam Guthrie, her age, and of course going along with that is experience. I'm sure you've probably got some of that at the door. It's like you're just a kid, you know, what do you know? What kind of life experience can you bring? How do you answer that?
That is a really good question. When it comes to just my age and I guess my life experience, I kind of like to say, well, there's a lot of people, kind of what I touched on before, there's a lot of people my age already, and a lot of people close to my age who are experiencing issues on the municipal level, mm-hmm. and they need someone to represent them, not just in Ward 4, but across the ward. But because I'm someone who can connect with people of all ages, I find just throughout my daily life, I think that I can be a good representative for all generations and I can reach out to all of them. Currently, some of our counselors seem to cut out maybe the younger or the older ages just by the way they communicate and the way they're accessible.
Right.
And that's something that I want to fix by being accessible to all those generations.
Can you be more specific about that? Like how are the counselors now, and you don't have to name names, but how are counselors now not as accessible as they can be, and how can you, as a counselor, be more accessible than they are?
Well, anyone that's listening to this and who follow municipal politics will be able to tell you which ones are active on social media. There's a very select group, they're quite small, that are very transparent, very clear on what's going on in their role as, you know, counselors are on council. And that's something that I also want to espouse, and that's something that's seriously lacking in our ward. As someone that wanted to get engaged long before I decided I wanted to run for counselor, I found there was no way to really do that. And it can't just be during election time when our counselors become more accessible. It needs to be all the time, the middle of the term, the beginning of the term, towards the end of the term. It needs to be more access.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked a bit about transit. Certainly a big issue and one that's, I guess, to be determined. But, you know, we're in Ward 4 here. Probably not the sexiest ward. But, you know...
It's the best, though.
It's the best. Good. You saved that like a real politician.
There you go.
But, you know, you have Ward 1 where there's a lot of new development happening. Ward 6, too. Ward 1 is also downtown. Wards 2 and 3 are sort of the older, more established parts of town. Ward 5 is a university where there's always something happening. What can you tell people about Ward 4 in terms of like your expectations about where it's going and what you think this ward needs that it hasn't gotten so much in terms of attention from politicians?
Great question. So you started this question off about transit, and that's where I'll start too.
Okay.
I believe that we need to have a more grid-like system. I've been pretty transparent about that. It's on my website. I talk about it along the lines of Stephen Petrick and kind of his goal for transit in Guelph. And he's obviously the head of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph and is very involved with that, been a delegate. And we've had a few discussions, and a grid-like system is definitely needed that could help benefit Ward 4. And I have another proposal, and that's a community bus for Ward 4. I've kind of lovingly named it Route 4. And it would be a bus that would go along the lines of going north-south Imperial and then looping up in north-south Elmira and going up to Speedvale or Woodlawn and kind of going into different neighborhoods as it went along. That's something I'm passionate about because we need to connect our community to places like the West End Rec Center, to places like Zehrs, Costco, places that people are going so they don't have to go all the way downtown and then all the way back out again on a loop bus. Right. That doesn't work anymore. We need to enter into 2018 and have a new strategy, try some new ideas. When we're looking beyond transit, you're right, there's not super amount of exciting development going on. But we do need to protect our current green spaces for now and into the future. Also, there are new developments that can happen, and that can be along the lines of doing things like rapid bus transit. So expanding the size of our roads to include a dedicated lane for bus transit, which down the line in the future could maybe be LRT once we have the density for that. And I've been advised that we don't have the density for that right now, but I'm all about planning for the future, and that's a big part about planning for the future.
Well, you'll get to see it more than some of the rest of us.
Yeah. There you go.
I take you know there's already a route number 4.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a nickname.
Right.
That's my loving nickname is Route 4.
Fair enough. So, you know, you talked about coming to council and getting ready for this. What have you learned taking the steps to run and sitting in the council meetings, that, you know, maybe that doesn't just inform you if you say don't win, but how does that form your future as an active citizen? You know, what are you going to take from this process that may be valuable to other people who want to look to get involved?
Right. The first thing I'd say is it's a really great process because of the people I've met. You know, running for an elected office means representing other people, and it's important to know those people. And so I've been going door to door for a long time now, either with door hangers or actually knocking on doors. And the people that I've met it's just been amazing to understand more about my community. And if anything, I'm going to come away with this feeling more connected to the people in my ward and definitely around Guelph. I've met a lot of great people that are sort of in the political circle of Guelph that maybe not everyone knows, that it's really great to see the kind of work that they do in promoting civic democracy. And then I've also met other candidates, and then I've met people at the door who are the most important. And those are the kind of people that I'm like, hey, we have a lot of common ground. And that's been exciting to kind of understand that, just for prospects of being elected, but also just, you know, being a citizen in Guelph. It's like, there's a lot connecting us. And, you know, maybe I don't see them at certain events, or I'm not going to run into them at the West End Rec Center, but these are people that I have a lot in common with that I didn't know necessarily.
You're talking about both ends of the sword in terms of you deal with people on the stoop, and that tends to be a very positive experience.
Yeah.
You're talking about dealing with people online, which unfortunately sometimes veers to the most negative of experiences. I don't expect you to have a complete answer, but in terms of how do we bridge the two? Because we're seeing it pretty bad on both sides this year. You know, people are seeing the very, very good on the doors. People are seeing the very, very bad on, I could say, certain Facebook groups.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm part of them. And I'm seeing what's going on. I'm in the comment change. I'm watching it. when it comes to these Facebook groups. But what really I want to do is put the onus on them to be better citizens and engage respectfully. I was recently at the Better Ballot campaign launch downtown at Innovation Guelph, and their whole message, and this is one they want to spread to the federal and provincial level, and I love their messaging. They're just talking about having respect on both sides, from candidates to candidates, candidates to residents, and residents to candidates. And that's something that's super important. So the only thing I can say about the Facebook groups and the negative stuff online is the onus is on you to be respectful and to really look at the facts before you start spewing things. And I am happy to note that those people are very, very, very small minority, and it's the same 10 people doing these and making the same groups and all that. So I'm not too worried about it.
So, Anshu, it's funny that we're here on sort of this area because, you know, looking out, this didn't look like this even 10 years ago. I mean, it's this corner is evocative of everything, just how much it's changed down here in the last 6 years. And if I may, sort of seeing you run is evocative of how much this area has changed and how much Guelph has changed in the last 10 years. So I guess I wanted to start with maybe the most obvious part, but it's nice to have a woman of color, and actually several women of color, running for city council this year. Yeah. So what do you think the difference is now? And maybe it has to do with representation, but it maybe also has to do with just this is the character of the city now, because you put in a Facebook post, this is 20% of Guelph is now people of color.
19%, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what made now the time for you?
The thing is that, first of all, I feel very fortunate that I'm representing that 19% of the pie, as I mentioned. And the best thing is that Guelph is very welcoming. Mm-hmm. Irrespective of caste, color, creed, wherever we are coming from, when I went to do my paperwork, and I was at a city hall, and the city clerk was like, he was so happy to pass me those papers, said, welcome, you know, this is way I want to see this city when it comes to residents, when it comes to councillors, politicians, stakeholders. I really want that knitted community, the warmer community. Somebody asked me, what do you mean by warmer community, as if I'm selling soup and bread? I said, no, the warmer means more knitted we are. Right. When it comes to residents, we always say residents first. When it comes to elections, every councillor, whosoever is a candidate, they knock the door, hey, vote for me, wait, vote for me. I'm going to put your city taxes down. Come on, give them a measurable thing. Something that is measurable, right? Do not make those promises which you cannot keep it. Because making those promises, I never go to the doors and say, I'm going to bring the cities, I'm in taxes down. I always say, guys, I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I want to be your voice. I don't want to be a politician. I want to be the voice of Guelph, voice of residents of Ward 6, overall representing Guelph in a positive, definite, growing way. And when it comes to, people ask me so many questions, and especially when it comes to safety, security, all the vandalism and break-ins going around, and the mental health. And when it comes to our youth, people are really a little bit scared. Mm. How our future is going to unfold when it comes to Guelph being identified as one of those fertile lands where they can grow marijuana.
Yeah.
And we have opiate crisis on the other hand, then we have break-in. So everything, it's a jigsaw puzzle. Every little thing is connected with another. Mm. So if we see a crime here, but the real cause is somewhere else.
Right.
So we see people running around the city like in a funny way. It's not them, it's something else which is triggering them, which could be mental health, depression, isolation, right? So there are so many things around. So we need to be the voice of the residents. So as if I get elected as a councillor, what I would like to see is more community one-on-one informal meetings than city halls. Unending meetings when everything is put together in one meeting and we come to no conclusion. So moving forward, like so every time whenever I hear, like even with the driveway bylaw and all, everything is suspended, everything is put on hold another 2 years. after another 3 years, do you think I'm going to have the same energy? I may not be alive. I may not be alive.
Right?
So when it comes to recreation center in 2021, there's a lot of promises made by incumbents like, oh, we're going to, it's coming. Mm-hmm. When I knock doors and people say, it's been like more than 15 years. Are you the one giving us another promise? I say, I'm not giving you the promise that it is coming. I want to bring you the promise that if I get chosen, I would love to work with the stakeholders around the community, East End, and the others around the community at the downtown core area where we have Big Brother Sister, we have YMCA, we have there's so many other CAMH and a lot of people like who are already working wonders in the community, and they're already bringing so much enlightenment, a lot of character to the population of Guelph. So if we shake hands with condominium building superintendent and say, hey, can we bring seniors program here once a while, once a week, once a month, and they can have the chess club or they can have a bingo club? Why not?
Sure.
Why can't we have shake hands with the trustees or school board people and have some after school programs like basketball program, volleyball program with extra school permits? It doesn't costs too much, but yes, working with the stakeholders, everything is possible, and we have to start taking baby steps, working with the community, making a community listen to your residents. Somebody was asking me, what's your platform? I said, you know what, my platform is what the residents are telling me. That is my platform. I don't have a fairy tale platform, so I have a fairy band, I'm gonna go do this and things are gonna change. If things didn't change in the last 4 years, I do not know how we're gonna make the change, like instant change ASAP. I become a counselor.
Right, and that approach is interesting because I think we get hung up on what the platform is and what the promises are, and then when promises aren't kept, it's sticky because people can come back at you when you're running for a re-election. You promise this, you promise that. And, sometimes, the circumstances get in the way. Sometimes things aren't as deliverable as once you see what's written on the paper. And so it's a unique approach. But I think one of the things you're talking about is more direct governance, more kind of working in the everyday and not just like saying that when council begins and when council ends, that's when we take care of this stuff. We can take care of it, on a Thursday afternoon when just with stakeholders there.
So I just want to say that, for example, let me put it in a perspective. If I have a needle in my hand, it's very thin. If it drops on the floor, I can pick it right away. Mm-hmm. If I have to find it from the haystack, I can never hold through my life. I can. So if you pile on small issue and they become ginormous, and then we can't even resolve one. For example, if we have 101 community informal meetings, coffee over cookies, and you know what, people talk about it, I may not be able to achieve maybe or resolve all of those issues, but at least out of 4, 5, 6 we could get into 1 or 2. Right? They are not piling up and they become a big issue, and then we having agitations, we have community meeting halls, like we go to the meetings and all these debates and all. So now I was now we're having debates for all the city councilors with the residents. So I was just thinking, why we need these debates? Why? You know why? Because people want to make sure whosoever they vote is the right candidate, because they haven't seen so far. Mm. They want to make sure. The debate is not to know me and to know my platform on that day. They want to make sure is Anshu Khurana is capable of keeping her promises, promises versus whatever big deals, like probably like she said, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. So we have to stand to our word. We have to walk the walk, talk the talk, walk the walk together, rather than yesterday I was talking with a gentleman. I said, I don't want to come back after 4 years again and knock your door and I will say, you remember me? I came 4 years before.
Right.
No, I want to be your buddy. I want to be your voice. I want to be like a regular meet and greet sort of stuff. And you remember my name, my phone number, hey Anshu, this is what it is, let's do it. Yes, I will do it. I stepped out of my comfort zone not to gather fame, because I trust and I believe that together we can create a difference. And being the resident of Guelph, yes, this is my commitment towards my residents. Like, give me a chance to work for you, and I think I can do it.
And so once again, that was Stephen Petrick, Eli Riddler, and Anshu Khurana. They're running in Ward 3, Ward 4, and Ward 6, respectively. If you're interested, city council candidate has not been heard yet on the show. We did 4 last week. Don't worry, we're trying to get to as many as we can in the next couple of weeks. Plus, we are going to have full hour interviews with the 2 mayoral candidates, Eki Milners on October the 11th and Cam Guthrie on October 18th. And if you want to send us any questions that you'd like us to ask them about, that is, of course, would be very appreciated by us. And I just slaughtered the English language, so let's get out of here. You can stay connected to our website, opensourcesguelph.com. You can go to Open Sources Newswire on Facebook, OS_Guelph on Twitter. And you can listen to this and past episodes of the show on the Guelph Politicast channel by searching on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. I can be found at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter, or go to guelphpolitico.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spanderbook.wordpress.com.
And we've got more great programming for you here coming up next on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. And we'll be back here next week for more open sources and more candidate interviews Thursdays at 5 p.m. And we will see you then.